We are joined now by Anas El-Ghamati, founder of the independent Libya-based think tank, the SADC Institute. Anas, you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us. First of all, first and foremost, you are a Libyan citizen. So how are you watching what's happening in your country?
With shock and despair, because, you know, as the floodwaters retreat, you still see that death and that spectre still looms. You know, without the kind of urgent aid that Dadna requires and the region requires, that toll that you just spoke of is going to continue to climb. We're looking at 5,000 at least now that are dead, 10,000 that are still missing, and in these vital hours will most likely die. For those that have been left behind, there's around 40,000 that have been displaced. So half the population is out of the city with nowhere to live, with no essence of life, no clean water. Disease might be able to spread very, very quickly from this kind of situation. So we're in a race against time, and it's imperative that something is done about this, that international aid is coordinated. And on a personal note, again, as a Libyan that has lived through many of these wars, that has watched these wars from within and from without, it's shocking to see how, when it comes to war, these factions are always prepared. They always have bombs and they always have bullets to maim and kill their own citizens, displace their own citizens. But when it comes to destruction, they're experts. And when it comes to preservation, they're lacking. This didn't need to happen. It didn't need to happen in this way.
I want to get into that in a little more detail with you. But just to check, are your loved ones safe?
Like all of our loved ones, no. Regretfully, everyone has lost someone. We've lost members of my aunt's family. And I feel no different to any other Libyan that has lost a loved one or a friend. And those that are still missing. And that search continues. So on a personal note, it's difficult to kind of see through how you try to repair the country that has been suffering for a decade and how you try to find solace for your own family.
Well, we're very sorry to hear about your own personal loss this morning. And thank you for speaking to us during this awful tragedy. You said there about the governments, there's two governments, just to explain for our listeners. Libya has two, one in the West, which is recognised internationally, the other in the East, which is not. Has that split made it even more difficult to get aid in?
It's exacerbated it, you know, and it was a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. The complacency by the international community that has propped up many of these factions, particularly the one in the East that is now wanted for war crimes. This is led by a general, Khalifa Haftar, that, again, when it came to bombing his own citizens, when it came to bringing in mercenaries like the Russian Wagner Group to bomb and maim his own citizens, he didn't hesitate for a moment. He paid them off $200 million only several months ago to make sure that their debts were paid. But when it came to raising the alarm on the citizens of Dadna that had time, you know, in Morocco, and you're right to raise what's happening in Morocco, but when those tectonic plates shifted, those citizens had seconds to respond. But in eastern Libya, we had days. You know, that storm was moving through Greece and moving through Turkey. Meteorologists warned about this 72 hours earlier. They told the local authorities something should be done. We watched those flood banks rise. When they burst the two dams, that's when it all came crashing down, and
should they have foreseen the dams? I mean, are the dams bursting the result of 12 years of conflict in your country?
It's over 50 years. You know, those dams were built in 1977 when Yugoslavia, who built those dams, was still a country. It's not a country anymore. Hasn't been maintained since the early 80s. You've had experts within the country, the University of Sabha in southern Libya, published reports about this for several years. They issued reports telling the local authorities there that something had to be done. And it comes down to this crux about why democracy in Libya is not a luxury. Local municipal elections were blocked in Dadna several weeks ago by the national parliament that has blocked elections for a decade. It's not a luxury. It's not about representation. What could have been done if locally elected experts could have been there and warned their citizens? There could have been responsible, responsive and agile movement there. They could have evacuated a lot of their citizens. Yes, Dadna might have been over flooded and overwhelmed, and that city might have been taken away. But the souls that are now in a watery grave, 10,000 that are still missing, up to 15,000 that might be dead, they could have been saved. This is not Morocco and what could have happened in a few seconds. In Libya, we had time to prepare for this. But when you have incompetent and you have a lack of accountability that strikes right at the core of Libya's political paralysis over the last several years, but also the international community's complacency in propping up these individuals and shaking their hands. There's blood on everyone's hands now, and it doesn't just rest in the hands of you know, bloated old generals like Khalifa Haftar. It goes right to the core of the UN special envoy that came and shook his hand several weeks ago, and will most likely recycle him again. So, you know, it's a shocking testimony to how badly Libya has been rebuilt over the last several years, how stagnant it's been for the last 50, but also going forward, something has to change, because these individuals were not responsible enough to be custodians of Libya for the last several years. They can't be responsible custodians now when we need to coordinate the kind of aid effort that it's going to need, because Libya needs, Derna needs a Marshall Plan. The whole city needs to be rebuilt.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning, Anas Elgomati, who is founder of the independent Libya-based think tank, the SADC Institute.